Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
So the question that we are asking today is, why won't the Arab countries and the Islamic countries absorb their own brothers from Syria and other places where refugees are coming from this region? Why is it Europe's problem? Why is it Europe's problem? And it is a problem. What we are seeing here is a political continental shift. Europe is turning into Eurabia. Some say Europe has already turned into Eurabia. I would go with that. Europeans cannot walk freely in many parts of their own countries because of the Islamists in their midst. It isn't safe. Their daughters are being raped. And their own government is complicit in the silence and the covering up of these crimes against its own citizens. Why won't Saudi Arabia, who is so rich and has so much land, they could put the refugees in there and not even find them? There's so much land in Saudi Arabia that's uninhabited. Why don't they absorb them? Why don't the other oil-rich countries in the region who share the same language, Arabic, who share the same religion, Islam, and who share the same background, being Arab, why don't they absorb them? We're going to be having on today Dr. Mordechai Kedar. Oh, this is a popular request. I know that one of our listeners, Shoshana, has been asking for him. And Shoshana, we are following up on your request. It's going to be a very interesting show. Feel free to call in. Our numbers are on our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com. And you can have your say. You can weigh in on the issue. You can ask a question. We're going live for you, so you can do that. So stay with us. Have your questions ready, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And the question that we're asking today is, why won't the Arab countries absorb their brothers from Syria? And why is it Europe's problem now? Our guest is Dr. Mordechai Kedar. He is a senior lecturer at Bar-Ilan University here in Israel. He was a lieutenant colonel in the Israel Defense Forces military intelligence. He could tell you about that, but then he'd have to kill you. He's an authority on Islamic movements, gender issues in Islam, the Arabic mass media, and politics and culture in Arab societies. He's frequently interviewed on Israeli TV news shows regarding the Arab world. And you can visit his website at MordechaiKedar.com. And we will link to his website where this show is podcasted. So I want to welcome to the show Dr. Mordechai Kedar.
Thank you so much, Tamar, for having me on there.
It is wonderful to have you on. And thank you for getting up so early in the morning here in Israel. This is a big question. We are seeing the continent of Europe turn into Eurabia. We are seeing crime taking place there, women being raped by these people who don't want to assimilate into European society, seeing the collusion of European governments in their covering up of these crimes. And the question is, why is all this happening?
Well, I think that Europe today is governed by a group of ideas which actually paralyzed the European immunity. First of all, the religion of human rights, which definitely disables any rejection to anything which threatens the European culture. In addition, you have to remember that Europe actually is in a big deficit of human resources. First of all, because of the two world wars, first one, the second one, which left behind some 100 million of European killed in the battlefields, in the cities, and everywhere. And this is why today Europe needs an influx of new blood of workers in order to operate the factories, in order to operate the economy, in order to work in grocery shops and in transportation and in factories and wherever, because there are not enough Europeans to maintain the economy. Add to this the post-colonial remorse for what they did to the colonies for the centuries of colonialism, what they did in Africa and in East Asia and Southeast Asia and America, you know, both North and South. And because of this remorse, now they feel that they have to compensate those indigenous peoples by enabling them to come to Europe and in order to, you know, to open a new life.
So let me ask you this, because I would think that they've also, you know, had colonies in India, and there's places in the South Pacific, and look at in Indonesia or the Philippines, let's say. They could have brought in people who were more westernized, like the Filipinos, right? They're Christians. I would think that they would be cheap labor. Indians who are Hindus, who are not so aggressive in their religion. Why didn't they bring those people in?
Because the religion of human rights doesn't allow you to discriminate between Muslim and Hindu or Christian or anyone else. It is human rights, not Christian rights or Chinese rights or Indian rights. It is human rights. And once a human being is a human being, you cannot discriminate him against. So this is another way how they castrated themselves. Add to this the fact that anyway Europe today is detached from religion, and they try to think that everybody else in the world is also detached from religion, and they don't think that religion is something important. So this is in the realm of the religion of human rights. Add to this the part of this religion, which is women's rights, which actually exempts women from bringing children to the world, means that every woman has the choice whether to be pregnant or not, and bringing children to the world is only an option. So this makes the European demography so low. Add to this some new ideas of multiculturalism, which promotes the idea that, or advances the idea that some cultures can live in one country as long as they let live to each other. This is in very short. And it means that Muslims can live along with Christians, with atheists, and with Hindus, and with others, because this is multiculturalism. However, it works very well for Muslims. They come to Europe, and they live on the expense of the others, because the rate of unemployment within the Islamic immigration is very low, and they are, you know, in many places, there are more than half of the people who live in jails, mainly because they don't care about the state law and so forth. So this is not multiculturalism. This is how one culture lives on the expense of the others. Mm-hmm. And this is unfortunately what happens to Europe. Some ideas which accumulated to each other and actually nullified the European ability to resist this influx of another culture and to change the European culture altogether.
You know, we often make fun, at least in America, of Polacks and how unintelligent they are. But this one, you know, I have to say Poland is kind of more on the ball than the rest of the European Union. Let me just read you this very short thing from an article that was posted on europe.infowars.com under the title of Why Won't Saudi Arabia, Qatar Take Refugees? And it says here that a Polish member of parliament, Dominik Tarczynski, stated during an interview with TRT World, which is a Turkish media outlet, and he said, "Where is Saudi Arabia, one of the richest countries in the world? Where is Qatar? Most of the refugees are Muslims, which are neighbors to this country. So why are you calling this a European problem?" And the show's presenter claimed that Europe was responsible for the migrants instead of neighboring Muslim countries because of, quote, post-colonial repression. So what do you have to say about that?
First of all, he actually echoes what Europeans tell about themselves, that they are responsible for all the problems of the third world. Look, I'm not trying to reduce the responsibility of Europe for the creation of these dysfunctional states in the third world in general and in the Middle East in particular. But guys, grow up. The colonialism is not here for who knows how many dozens of years, if not more. So, well, to start functioning, I'll tell you, before I would take even a better answer of the Kuwaiti Minister of Foreign Affairs, who was asked a few years ago, I think it was in 2015, when the big wave of refugees came to Europe. He was asked, why wouldn't Kuwait take some of the Syrian refugees? So he said, you know, without even blinking, he said that these Syrian refugees are not of the same culture of Kuwait. Okay. Okay? It's not the same culture, because Kuwait is more tribal, traditional, a society, while the Syrians are more secular, more individualistic. So this is what he means. The fact that they are Arabs doesn't matter. The fact that they are Muslims, mostly, doesn't matter. The fact that they are Middle Easterners doesn't matter. They are different culture. That's what this meant. Well, are they European culture? Is it better for them to go to France or to Belgium or to Germany? Is this their culture? Okay, this is what I mean, hypocrisy. And hypocrisy. They wouldn't like to share their wealth with their Arab brethren. What do you think? The Gulf Emirates are so rich and Egypt is so poor.
But then again, you know, Saudi Arabia, they're always importing foreign workers. So just like Europe needs the cheap labor, doesn't Saudi Arabia as well?
Yes, but they are afraid of Arabs. They bring in others like Indonesians and Malaysians and Bangladeshi. First of all, they bring in Muslims. So they don't bring in all kinds of other religions. Secondly, they bring individuals, not families and not clans, because they want to deal with everyone particularly. And if he doesn't behave as they expect, they just kick him out as individual in the good case. If not, they don't kill him altogether. So if they bring in Syrians in big numbers, this group might cause problem from within by being a group, while the Bangladeshi are not a group. And this is what they are afraid of.
So they seem to have more sense than the Europeans do.
Of course, they know their Arabs brethren, and they know that they don't want them in. The Europeans are oblivious, so they let everyone in. Let's see what happens if it doesn't work.
Well, Turkey now has absorbed a lot of these refugees, and they are now blackmailing Europe and threatening to open the gates and let these refugees pour into Europe through Greece unless they're paid billions and billions of euros. We're going to find out a little bit more about that and more about what's going on in the Arab world and how it's affecting all of us. We're going to a break, but if you'd like to call in, you can do so. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We're speaking with Dr. Mordechai Kedar. You can call in with your questions or you can weigh in on the issue. We're going to be right back after the break.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And we're taking a look at the Arab world and how we're seeing also a political continental shift. And it is changing the face of Europe and having a huge influence on Western society and a threat as well. We're talking with our guest, Dr. Mordechai Kedar from MordechaiKedar.com. And we left the last part of the show talking about what was happening, why Arab countries are not absorbing these people, and why it's Europe. And we do have a caller, Dr. Mordechai Kedar. Let's just get the caller in. And caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Shoshana from Portland. Hi, Dr. Kedar. We talked about once you're coming to Portland and work out. Glad to hear you. I have a question. The question is kind of a silly question. So why would Europe feel so guilty about how they treated these people when they were colonies and not feel guilty about what they did to our people for generations and generations?
Great question. Go ahead.
Shoshana, good evening. How are you?
God, good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. She's going to hang up, I see, and wait offline. So go ahead.
The answer is very clear. One word, anti-Semitism. There were anti-Semites for centuries, if not millennia. There were anti-Semites in the 30s, in the 40s. They did nothing when we were exterminated. And now this anti-Semitism came back to the scene. Now it's not anymore a shame to be an anti-Semite. They got liberated from the bad feelings of the Second World War. And now being an anti-Israeli is some kind of a facet of anti-Semitism. And okay, and now with the migration of Muslims to Europe, the Islamic anti-Semitism meets the old European one. And together, they unite, they are united, and the Jews are running away from France. I think they will run away from Britain very soon. They run away from Sweden and from everywhere where Islam actually settles in Europe. Jews are running away. And I just hope that the United States of America will not walk on the same path.
Turkey now is blackmailing Europe, saying that if they don't get paid billions of euros, that they are going to open the gates and flood Europe with even more refugees. Tell us about that.
Well, for those who do not know, this is exactly what happened in 2015. And most of these refugees who came to Germany especially, they didn't come from Africa, from Libya, they came from Turkey. Although Turkey is not a war zone, and as you know, according to the international law, once a refugee sets his foot on a normal country, this normal country should absorb him because he's a refugee. Turkey, although it did need, it sent over a million of people to the sea with small boats. Many of them sunk. Many of those refugees in the Aegean Sea between Turkey and Greece. If you remember the picture of this poor boy, little boy, or let's 2 or 3 years old boy, who drowned and was found on the seashore. This boy actually came from Turkey. He didn't come from anywhere else. And this is what the world actually gives Turkey reduction by allowing Turkey to flood Europe with these refugees. I think that the European countries, already at the beginning of 2015, should have told Erdogan, one more refugee and we flatten Ankara with the earth. And he would know, he would learn the lesson not to flood Europe with refugees which came to Turkey. And just to remind you, Turkey was one of the most responsible countries for the atrocities in Syria. Because at the beginning, when Daesh, when the ISIS came to the scene in 2012 and 13, Turkey enabled it. Turkey supported it. Turkey gave them money. Turkey kept buying oil, which ISIS took out from the ground of Iraq and Syria. Turkey enabled army units of Daesh, of ISIS, to go through Turkey from place in Syria to another place. Turkey actually was the godmother of ISIS, and this actually what devastated Syria, what devastated Iraq, and caused this wave of refugees. So I have no pity to Turkey. If Erdogan is the one, and that's what he was one of the supporters of ISIS, and he should bear the consequences by having the refugees which he caused in Turkey. He shouldn't have sent even one refugee to Europe. And unfortunately, the European countries didn't come to him with the account in order to convince him to stay with the refugees which he caused. Another country which was responsible for the emergence of ISIS is Iran, because Iran supported the Assad regime, and the Assad regime treated his people the way he treated, which pushed many of them to go to ISIS as a kind of revenge against his way of treatment. So Iran definitely should have absorbed refugees from Syria. Why didn't the world give Iran the nuclear agreement in 2015 without demanding that Iran takes part in hosting those refugees? And they needed this agreement desperately. And the world, headed by Obama those days, could have demand that that Iran takes, let's say, some hundreds of thousands of refugees. After all, Iran is responsible for what happens in Syria and Iraq. Why didn't they? Okay, but you know, when the world falls asleep on guard, the world doesn't realize the Turkish part of the problem, of creating the problem, and the Iranian part, not to mention Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, with its money, definitely supported Daesh, ISIS in the beginning. And definitely it is responsible for the problems in Syria. So again, the Arab and the Islamic countries, which were responsible for the atrocities in Syria, were not called to order. And Europe absorbed the problem as if Europe created it.
I think a lot of people assume that Europeans are smarter and more intelligent than the Arab world, but I don't see that happening right now.
The Europeans, I might say, yes, are more compassionate. This is the only thing which caused them to absorb these millions of people, only because they care. They really are caring for poor people, and yes, we cannot take it from them. And the Arab and the Islamic world couldn't care less about Arabs and Muslims. And this is the hypocrisy of Islam, by the way, which others, like Christians and atheists, are much more merciful about Muslims than Muslims themselves.
So, you know, I look at it as less humanitarian Although there is that aspect, as you say, and more looking at the economy and wanting cheap labor. But, you know, you get what you make your bed, you sleep in your bed, you have to make it. But let me ask you this question before the end. We only have another 3 minutes for this segment. And that is there any hope for Europe when we see that there are places, there are no-go zones for citizens of their own country because of the violence and the danger of going into Islamic neighborhoods, and where they are attacking police themselves, and where we see the government complicit in covering up the crimes of rape against their European daughters, covering up the crimes of these immigrants, their own governments are complicit. Is there any hope for Europe?
Well, some hope that if the right wing raises in Europe, as we see in Hungary, as we see in Austria, as we see in France with Marine Le Pen, as we see in the Netherlands with the Geert Wilders, and in Germany, of course, if the right will come back to power, they will kick out all the Muslims. Well, I have some doubts about this, because in order to not to need these waves of migrants, you need your own children. You need to make children. Today, the average of children per woman in Europe in general is 1.4. And 1.4 means that the society is in decline demographically. In order to regain the ability to live as nations without immigration, every woman has to bring 8 children to the world for 3 generations.
Wow.
And I have some doubts if this is going to happen. And in my view, Europe is doomed, because in 50 years, there will be only enclaves of Europeans, blonde Europeans with blue eyes, who will live in zoos, so people around them can come and see how European human beings lived 100 years ago. And this is what is going to be in Europe.
Wow, it's kind of funny what you said, but it's completely sad. I want to talk to you in the next segment about some of the bigger problems that Israel is suffering right now, and that is with Iran, the threat from Iran and its proxies, the Hezbollah and, of course, the Hamas. This last week or so, we saw a opening up of huge rocket fire on Israeli communities in the South. And people say, well, it's the South's problem, or it's happening in the South. But, you know, when 9/11 happened, the Americans didn't say it was a New York problem. It was an attack against America. And the Hamas shooting rockets at Israel, even though right now it's only in the South, it's an attack against the entire state of Israel. So I want to discuss that with you, and Iran as well. How to solve the problem with Hamas. What is the right thing to do militarily, politically, in order to solve this problem? And again, I want to invite all of you to call in. If you have any comments or questions or want to weigh in on the issue, feel free to do so. Our numbers are on our homepage. We'll be right back.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
All right, we're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. Our guest is Dr. Mordechai Kedar, and you can go to his website, look up all of his terrific articles that he writes at mordechaikedar.com, and he's here answering our questions about what is happening with this continental shift that's on a political level that we're seeing happening, where Europe is turning in, or has already turned into, Eurabia, why the Arab countries themselves are not absorbing these people. And I want to move the focus now to Israel, because we're also having problems, sadly, with our Arab neighbors. Just last week, the Hamas shot over 100 rockets and mortar shells at Israel in our communities in the south. people there cannot take it anymore. They're demanding from the government to put a stop on this, a final stop. We've had operation after operation. They don't want to call it war. They call it an operation against the Hamas in order to quell the terror, in order to keep things down. But basically what I see, they are maintaining a terrible situation and just having a situation where we can tolerate the Hamas instead of uprooting the Hamas. So Dr. Mordechai Kedar, what is the right procedure? What is the right thing to do on a military level, on a political level, in order to bring peace and safety and security to Israel?
Well, this will be when the prophet's prophecy will be fulfilled, that the tiger will live with the lamb, and also this, when peace will come to the Middle East. Because unfortunately, the Middle East is a region where conflicts are actually the name of the game. People do not live with each other, people fight with each other. Unfortunately, this is the heritage and this is the culture of this region. However, in such a turbulent region, you can live on deterrence. Only when people are afraid of you, they will leave you in peace, and they will leave you alone. If Israel creates a situation when it's too dangerous to mess with Israel, this is when Israel will enjoy peace. In the case of Gaza, for months I'm speaking about targeting the Hamas leaders because they couldn't care less about their own people. For them, a dead Arab in Gaza is better than if he's alive, because if he's dead, they can show his picture in the media and gain some more support and some more money from Iran in order to retaliate against the Jews. They couldn't care less about the quality of life in Gaza, the development in Gaza. If they did, they would turn Gaza into a Singapore, and they are in power already for 11 years, and Israel would be the first country to help them if this is what they actually wanted. But all they want is destruction to us and to themselves. And this is actually a cultural difference between us and them. Let me give you some example. In our culture, in Western culture, if you want to promote yourself, you study, you invest time, you work, and then you are better. And somebody who invests more time and work becomes better than somebody who invests less time and less work. And this is how we become better, by investing, by learning, by studying, and by working. In their culture, in the Middle East, you become better if you destroy the other, if you kill him, if you injure him, if you damage him. This is how you become better. Might makes right, and if you damage the other, you become better. And this is, unfortunately, the culture of the Middle East, which we have to face, because we believe in promoting yourself. They believe in destroying anybody else, including us. How can you reconcile between two cultures? How can you live in peace between people who think in totally different way? And this is the problem of Israel, to be absorbed in the Middle East, because we are a different culture. We are Western culture, while the Middle East is deeply in the Islamic heritage and the Arab tribalism. And unfortunately, as long as the differences in culture will be, real peace cannot occur. We can have peace based on deterrence, that people leave us alone only because it's too dangerous to mess with us. And this is what we this, by the way, why Egypt has peace with us, not because we are nice, and Jordan as well, just because they gave up on getting rid of us. They failed in all the wars. They failed in 48 and 56 and 67 and 73. And since they failed in all the wars, they understood that we are invincible. And they gave us temporary peace, because this is the only thing which you have in the Middle East. Okay, if Israel remains invincible forever, we will have temporary peace forever. And this is how the Middle East works.
You know, I just want to state here that we have a defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, who everybody looked at as a real tiger. And he's been like a little kitty cat. You don't hear from him. He doesn't seem to do anything. He seems so impotent now that he's in this tafkid, in this job. And maybe you can comment on that in a second. But let's go to a caller first. Shalom, caller. What is your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Larry in Kansas.
Shalom, Larry from the occupied territories of Kansas. What's your comment or question for us here?
I'm going to try to make this quick. I'm a little short on the details. I don't live in your neighborhood, but I see what's happening in Europe. I see what's happening in the United States, and I think in Israel. There's too much talk, too many people with too many glib answers, and not enough action. As Ben Franklin said, we had better hang together, or we're going to hang separately. And as far as these new neo-Nazis coming up that are trying to take care of business in Hungary and Poland and a few other places, Croatia, and I think we had better recognize them as not necessarily anti-Semitic neo-Nazis that we used to all talk about. This is a new thing, and, you know, they're a resource. And if that's what it takes to solve the problem, I think we should at least talk to them. That's all I got to say.
Do you want to reply to that, Dr. Mordechai Kedar? And thanks for your call, Larry.
Sure.
Thank you so much, Larry. We are trying to talk to our neighbors since the Zionist movement started to come to Israel more over than 100 years ago. Weizmann talked to Abdullah, who later became the king of the Emirate of Transjordan. And this is why this king was killed, because he was talking and coming to all kinds of agreements with the Zionist movement. And this is the problem. Sadat was killed because he made peace with us. Okay, so there are some intellectuals or some people who realize the reality that Israel is part of the reality of the Middle East, yet others still hope to wipe Israel totally off the map, and they will kill anyone who tries to speak to Israel.
All right, so I was just talking about the defense minister and how impotent it seems like he is. This is my opinion I'm talking. What would be the right thing? You said the deterrent factor, but tachlis, as you know, bottom line, what does Israel need to do now in order, I mean, should Israel take out the Hamas? Because we have some politicians saying, oh, we should go into Gaza and we should take out the Hamas and then turn it over to the PLO, to Mahmoud Abbas, which is crazy. But when our soldiers are going to bleed and die in order just to give it to the Arabs again, to another terrorist entity. So what is the correct thing to do? And you have about 2 minutes.
Well, you know, Albert Einstein once said that insanity is repeating an experiment while hoping to have a different result. We did already in 2005. We went out of Gaza, and the PLO, means the Palestinian Authority, took it over for almost 2 years, and Hamas kicked them out and killed them. So if you give it again to the PLO, what will happen? The same thing will happen. The same thing might happen in the so-called West Bank, means the Judea and Samaria, if you hand the government to the PLO. So this is what I say, insanity. What we should do is to dismantle this PLO and the Palestinian Authority and create emirates in the cities of Judea and Samaria. And you can find about this on my website,
www.palestinianemirates.com. PalestinianEmirates.com. Okay. And we'll try to post that in the chat room as well. All right. So basically, you're talking about Israel needs to have a stronger deterrent factor. We have to go in and take out the Palestinian Authority, replace it, you're saying, with Emirates. Basically, you're saying to make muftis, you know, the heads of tribes in those areas responsible for their population, that they will work together with Israel, that they will have their personal rights and their values untouched by Israel, but they will not be a military power. They will not be given guns, et cetera, et cetera. Dr. Kedar?
Yeah, there is a big noise.
Okay, well, we hear you clearly.
There is a big noise which I cannot get rid of.
All right. Well, we hear you clearly, so you can just answer that. You have 60 seconds.
This is the only thing which works in the Middle East, because the Middle East, the only successful countries are the Gulf Emirates, because they are built on families and the leadership of the families. This is why they don't have elections in the Gulf Emirates. And this is the only scheme, the only system which works in the Arab world. Countries, modern countries, which were built according to European ideas like Iraq, Syria, Libya, Yemen, Sudan, are failures mainly because the state did not succeed to replace the traditional loyalties to the tribe, to the clan, to the ethnic group like Arabs and Kurds, to the religious group like Muslims and Christians and so forth, and the sectarian group like Sunni and Shia. And this is why only clannish countries can function in the Middle East. And this is what I am calling to establish in Judea and Samaria, in the Arab cities of Judea and Samaria.
Dr. Kedar, that's all we have time for. Really sorry. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, Dr. Mordechai Kedar. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and you can leave your comments on our webpage.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.